But welcome as we come to worship today. Whether you're joining us in person or whether it's online, we bid you a warm welcome today as we come on this Sunday before Advent, which is also known as Christ the King Sunday. A Sunday whenever we come to worship and recognise that the God that we've come to worship is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. No one and nothing is higher than He. We hear some words from Psalm 50, verse 1 today. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth, or God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before Him, and around Him the tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to me my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Again, verses of Scripture that remind us that He is sovereign and in control, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's pray as we begin. Father God, we thank You that You are indeed present with us this morning. Whether we are here in this building or whether we are at home, may Your presence set a marker in our lives. A change of atmosphere, a change of attitude as we focus and look to You as the King. Help us to follow You more dearly, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As we say on a regular basis, we come together. One of the key elements of gathering as God's people is our recognition that before God, who He is and who we are. A key element in that is our state of confession, our state of repentance, our state of humbleness before Him. So we take a moment to confess before God using the words on the screen, Lord God. Lord God, we have sinned against You. We have done wrong in Your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to Your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of Your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin, restore us in His image to the praise and glory of His name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to use the words of Psalm 100, which is the Canticle Jubilate, today as the appointed psalm for today. We'll say this by alternate verse. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who has made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Again, a psalm, a canticle that encourages us to lift our praise to the One who is worthy of it. This is, as I said at the beginning, this is the Sunday before Advent. It's the Kingship of Christ Sunday. It also has another name. Anybody know what that might be? Lots of people are doing actions at me. The actions are this. Today is what? Stir Up Sunday. And whenever you're stirring something up, you need a spoon, don't you? Now, not a big spoon, sure it's not. You might be better with that spoon if you're going to stir stuff up. No, you wouldn't. You might be better with that kind of spoon if you're going to stir something up. Stirring up has a couple of connotations, doesn't it? So this is called Stir Up Sunday because this is the Sunday that traditionally people begin to stir up the ingredients for their Christmas cake and begin to make their Christmas cake. But in the life of the church, liturgically, in the life of the church, it's called Stir Up Sunday because we encourage each other to stir up a fresh vision of who God is in our hearts. That God would stir up within us a newness, a freshness of who He is and what he has done for us, that we might grasp something completely different of his character, that we would carry his presence in a different way. Stir up Sunday. So as you're stirring stuff up today, whether that's your Christmas cake, whether that's your spuds, whether that's your carrots, whatever it is you're stirring up later, or maybe stirring up means that you're winding somebody up a little bit later on. Now, that wouldn't be something that I would ever be involved in at all. But whatever it is that we're stirring up today, let's also stir up in our hearts that Christ is King and he is worthy of our praise. We finish this little bit by using that old collect for Stir Up Sunday. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to hear God's word read for us.
Today's reading is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
This morning we are continuing in our new sermon series, Whole Life Worship, and we're going to be looking at worship as a flow of our core identity. But before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word. Father, as we open it, as we digest it, we pray that you, by your Spirit, would open our ears to hear you. Open our eyes to see you. May you speak to each one of us through your words today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to put your hand up if you forgot to do something this week, if you didn't remember to do something. It's pretty common, isn't it? We don't always remember to do everything. Me, I need to write a list down. In fact, every Sunday I go and plan my week and write down what I have to do each day. But I have a story about forgetting to remember something about a bishop. And a bishop's car ran out of petrol. And much to his relief, his wife remembered that there was a petrol station about half a mile back. Now, the only thing that he had in his car to collect this petrol was his grandson's potty. So the bishop took the potty out of the car, went down to the petrol station, filled the potty up with some petrol and took it back to his car. And the leader of a church was driving by and he recognised his fellow Christian. And he approached the bishop and he saw the bishop with the potty trying to get it into the tank of the car. And the man gasped and said, "If only I'd have had faith like that, I'd have never left the church." I wonder, do you remember what we talked about in week one of our sermon series? Today we go deeper into what we introduced in week one, that everything we do in our lives, from filling our car with petrol to going to the supermarkets, can be offered as worship to God. And that worship flows out of an understanding of our core identity as God's people. Holy, chosen, and dearly loved. As we gather today, we experience a deeper reality of dwelling in Christ. Through all we do, think, say, and sing in that time, it can be transformative. But it cannot just be about our worship in this building this morning. It must flow from whatever we do during the week. We know that from our news, this is the last Sunday that we will be gathering together for at least 2 weeks in the building. But the church is not closed. The building may be closed, but the church isn't closed. For we, you and me, are the church. We don't need a building to worship. We can worship with our everyday lives. So what does it mean to be an everyday worshipper? Well, there's this parable that is told, and it is told from the experience that God is writing to this girl that is a believer of him. And he says this: "As you got up this morning, I watched you. I hoped you would talk to me, even if it was just a few words, asking my opinion or thanking me for something good that had happened in your life yesterday. But I noticed you were too busy trying to decide what outfit to wear. When you ran around the house trying to get ready, I knew there would be a few minutes for you to stop and say hello. But you were busy. At one point, you had 15 minutes to wait, but you still didn't talk to me. I thought you wanted to talk to me, but you ran to the phone and called a friend for the latest news instead. I watched patiently all day long. With all your activities, I guess you were too busy to say anything to me. I noticed that before lunch you looked around. Maybe you felt embarrassed to talk to me, and that's why you didn't bow your head. You glanced 3 or 4 tables over and noticed that some of your friends talking to me briefly before they ate, but you didn't. That's okay. There is still more time left, and I hope that you will talk to me yet. You went home, and it seems as if you had lots of things to do. After a few of them were done, you turned on the TV. I don't know if you like TV or not. Just about anything goes there, and you spend a lot of time each day in front of it, not thinking about anything, just enjoying the show. I waited patiently again as you watched TV and ate your meal, but again, you didn't talk to me. Bedtime. I guess you felt too tired. After you said goodnight to your family, you plopped into bed and fell asleep in no time. That's okay, because you may not realise that I am always there for you. I've got patience more than you will ever know. I even wait to teach you how to be patient with others as well. I love you so much that I wait every day for a nod, a prayer, a thought, or a thankful part from your heart. It is hard to have a one-sided conversation. Well, you're getting up once again, and once again, I will wait with nothing but love for you, hoping that today you will give me some time. Have a nice day, your Father God." Now, it's a very long story, but there is a point to it. How many times we challenge ourselves today? How many times have we gone days where we haven't talked to God, where we haven't acknowledged him, where we think that we need some grand building to be able to pray, to be able to have a conversation with him? Because that's what prayer is. It's a conversation with your Heavenly Father who chose you, who loves you. So what does it mean to be an everyday worshipper? How do we really worship in work, in school, over Zoom? How do we worship? Does it involve singing at the checkout? Does it involve singing "Shine, Jesus, Shine" as we clean our kitchen? Does it mean offering a prayer at the beginning of our Zoom meeting? Not necessarily. It can be so much more. It means whatever we do for the glory of God, our Father. And our whole lives, everything, every bit of it, all the mundane, the nitty-gritty, should become an offering to him. Later in Colossians, Paul says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not from human masters." Maybe that's what we need to inscribe on our bathroom mirrors before we go to work, before we go to the job that we don't really like, or before we go to the supermarkets when we're feeling a bit nervous about going. Maybe that is something that we need to inscribe on our hearts, that we don't work for men, but we work for God, a God that loves us and chose us. And Derrivolgy Kids, on Friday night, we played a game called Simon Says. Does everybody know the game okay? So we played this game called Simon Says, and basically what we do is we say Simon says this, and everybody needs to touch their head, or Simon says this. But when I say do this, then they're out of the game if they do that. But Paul here is playing a bit of a game of Simon Says, because what he says we must do. Paul firstly says our identity, we worship because of who we are. Who we are, that's a question that is asked of all of us every day. It can be asked of an employer, it can be asked of tax forms, it can be asked of whenever you're at the post office trying to collect a parcel that you've missed. It can be asked in so many ways. But in this passage, Paul tells us who we are in Christ. Anybody here afraid of snakes? Yeah, I don't really like them. They're a wee bit creepy, slithering along. But did you know that snakes shed their skin 4 to 12 times a year? It's called shedding. And maybe you've seen a snake skin. Whenever I was in P7 in school, believe it or not, one of my classmates had a pet snake. And he thought it would be great to play this prank on the teacher, so his pet snake had shed its skin for the first time that year, and he thought he would leave the skin on the teacher's chair. Let's just say it did not go down well. But while the snake's body continues to grow, its skin does not. It just sheds its skin. Kind of like when humans grow out of their clothes. A roomier layer, a new skin layer, is generated, and the old layer is discarded. And secondly, it gets rid of the harmful things called parasites, and that's why snakes shed their skin so often. But like a snake sheds its skin, Paul says, we are people who have to take off our old self. In verse 9, he says this. And then in verse 10, he goes on and he says, we have to put on a new identity. An identity that gets rid of harmful things in our lives and increases our understanding of what it means to be created in God's image. This identity means we are to learn to act differently towards one another. In verse 11 to 14, Paul says this. Here then is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. That can be tough. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So why do we worship? Paul is saying, firstly, we worship because it's our identity, because it's who we are. He goes on, secondly, to tell us because of our motivation, because we can. Now, hopefully there is a picture coming up on the screen, and I want you to put your hand up if you know who it is. Yeah, shout it out.
Bob the Builder.
Bob the Builder. Does anybody know the theme tune of Bob the Builder? It goes, Bob the Builder, can he fix it? Bob the Builder, yes, he can. Paul turns in this passage to our motivation. Why can we be motivated to worship God with our whole lives? Paul urges us to allow the peace of Christ and the word of Christ to work out in our lives together. Our worship is an overflow because of our new life in Christ, because of this new skin, in a sense, that we are putting on. Now, as we go out into the world today, after church, as we leave the building, we'll not be returning for at least 2 weeks. And that can be tough. We're going into our second lockdown with different measures. And we know that the first one wasn't easy for many people. And we're going into a second one. But know that our prayers go with you, and we are with you, and we'll be talking a little bit about that later on. But it can be tough. So it can be tough to even pray to God in times like that. So whenever that happens, I want you to remember Bob the Builder. Because Paul is telling us here that when we feel that we can't do it, just like Bob the Builder, yes, we can. Because we've got God. Because we're worshipping the God that reigns on the throne. So now you're going to have the Bob the Builder theme tune in your head all day. Thirdly and finally, as all good preachers, Paul has 3 points. He says our situations, wherever we are, we worship wherever we are. Everything has changed in a sense in our world, hasn't it? Because we go to the supermarket and we can't talk to our friends that we meet there. We can't hug people. We go to school and school's very different. And we go to work and we're sitting apart, or maybe we're even still working from home. Everything has changed. We've got used to this term, the new normal. And the new normal has in a sense just become the normal now. So how can we worship God in the midst of all that? Because of who we are. Because of what he's done. Because of who we are in him. We can do all of this to the glory of God. You might remember that we talked about in week one about the sacred and the secular, about how we can have a totally different life whenever we come to the church building to what we live throughout our daily lives. Yet what we're trying to say here is that that should be intertwined, that we shouldn't be a different person out there to what we are in here. Worship isn't just one particular day of the week. It isn't singing certain songs. Worship is whole life. It's everything in our life. It's who we are. We're to stir one another up, encourage one another in using our whole lives as worship. And Paul says, we've got to do it. It's our duty, we've got to do it, wherever we are. So even those bits in your life that you don't want God to see, he sees them. So let's use them to worship. Paul doesn't want worship to be something else that we add on that really long to-do list. We do it because it's a part of our identity. It's who we are. So as we go out into these next 2 weeks, or however long it may be, let's remember to worship. Let's not be like the girl in the story who forgot to talk to God that day. Let's remind ourselves. And whether that means putting a picture of Bob the Builder up in your house, so be it. Or whether it means that we need to put that verse from Paul in Colossians up on our mirror. Let's do it. But we will do it together. Because we may be apart, but we all have one thing in common. And that is our Heavenly Father. So let us pray. Father God, we give you utmost thanks for who you are, for what you've done for us. We thank you that you know us, that you know us each by name, that we are chosen, that we are dearly loved. As we scatter into the world, a world that you created with your hands, we pray that you would guide us, that you would teach us, that you would equip us in this time to be your people. Remind each one of us of who we are, our identity in you. Motivate us and equip us to worship you through every single aspect of our lives and in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's all those phrases, isn't there, of the new normal, unprecedented times. There's lots of new cliches around. So as we come to focus our mind today in prayer, I want to use a prayer that has been written specifically for the COVID-19 situation that we find ourselves in by someone who's reasonably familiar to us as a parish, as he was a preacher here at our Harvest Service just this year. So Bishop Ken Clark, or aka Fanta, as many know him, has written this prayer, and I want to use that today to encourage us and to focus us as we face into the next number of weeks. Let's pray. Unshakable God, at this time of national crisis and personal pain, we look to you for help and hope. We don't understand what's happening. We're fearful and apprehensive. We grieve to see people dying. We're anxious about the future. We are fearful about surviving financially. We're really just about hanging in. We can't get a grip on what is going on. It hurts to see people suffer. It hurts to see our doctors and nurses and care workers stretched to their limits. It's painful to think of those in isolation who are deeply worried. It's heartbreaking to see the bereaved. It's distressing to know that some people are utterly alone. We cry out to you for help and hope. We ask your forgiveness for our pride and folly. We repent of our selfishness and sin. Show us your mercy, Lord. Heal our land. God of compassion, stretch out your hands of healing. God of grace, show us your mercy. God of truth, may your word bring hope. Lord Jesus, walk with us in our pain, fear, and confusion. Once again, calm the storm. Once again, heal the hurting. Once again, bring hope and help. Bless all who are serving selfishly to care for others. Give our leaders wisdom and vision. Help them to make right decisions at this unprecedented time. Strengthen and protect all who are still working. Thank you for the thoughtful actions of many. Thank you for those lives are marked by acts of kindness. Thank you for churches seeking first your kingdom, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Thank you that in you, the unshakable God, there is a rock solid of hope for the present and future. Thank you that you are the God of the cross and the God of the resurrection. Breathe afresh your Holy Spirit upon us, upon our nation, and across the world at this time. In the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Our Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. A few very quick announcements as we close today. As you are aware by now, I would say just about all of us are aware of the government restrictions and guidelines that are coming into place on Friday the 27th, this Friday coming. It means that the doors of this building will once again close for a minimum of 2 weeks. We know that those decisions don't always come until the last minute, and so at the minute we're closing for those two Sundays. Our Small Step service continues this Tuesday, mind. We're not closing our doors until this Friday. So Small Steps does continue at 10 o'clock this Tuesday. And the last time that we closed the doors of the building, in one sense, it was much more of a frantic shifting about to make sure that we could be online or our presence could still be here and all of that. A little bit, hopefully, more seamless this time as we've kind of got used to that, and we've got the technology now in place to be able to do that. So whilst the building is closed, the church continues. We will be online with all of our programmes, so DVK for our kids continues online, DVY for our young people continues online. Our services for those Sundays will be streamed online as well. We are coming up to Christmas, and so we have a number of things planned for the Christmas season, and we'll hear more about those this week. I'll release some more information during the week about those once we've kind of solidified what our plans will be around those in preparation for what restrictions might look like. The doors of the building will be open on a Tuesday morning between 10 and 12. We're allowed to do that to receive donations for the food bank. And so please continue to donate to the food bank, and you can leave your stuff here between 10 and 12 of a Tuesday morning over those weeks. So please do that. You can also drop in your free will offering envelopes if you so desire at that time as well. I'm trying to look down to make sure I'm not missing something today. Our life groups are continuing online as well. Christmas hampers, as I've already spoken about. We're doing a virtual nativity, as I spoke about. You'll hear much more about that for parents. You'll hear more about that this week, encouraging your children to take part in that. And many of you many people will know, others who have received a letter, an invitation for our Christmas takeaway. We're not doing our in-house Christmas dinner, we're doing a takeaway dinner this year. So if you also know someone maybe who's in the community, who's living on their own and could do with a little Christmas dinner, not for Christmas Day, but on a different day, the 11th was our plan of December. Please do let me know and we'll see what we can do for that as well. And one last thing before we go today. We want to encourage you to pray. We know that you do that on a regular basis. During the vacancy before I came, Dean John Dinnan was looking after the place and had asked a number of you to sign up for a prayer list where you'd pray, take a day in the month, if you like, and pray. We want to revitalise that and refresh that concept of praying for this parish. You can get it on our Facebook page where you can sign up to it online, or there is a sign-up sheet at the door on the way out today. Please put your name down to sign up for that. We'll email you or contact you with prayer points that you pray for. Make your prayers that little bit more specific for this place as well. Did I say Pacific or specific? Specific. My eldest daughter will be at home going, Daddy, it's specific, not Pacific. So please do sign up for that. I want to refresh that and renew that and revitalise the prayer life of ourselves and the parish. We look for not only to pray for ourselves, for the parish, but also for the community that we're in. So please do take a moment to sign up for that. Or you can do it online whenever you go home, or indeed at this very moment you can click the link and sign up for it. I think that's all. Let's pray as we close today. Mindful that we go from here. And Sarah has already said, the buildings close, but we, the church, go out to be his hands and his feet into the places that he's sown us and planted us. Eternal God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, ascended to the throne of heaven, that he might rule over all things as Lord and King. Keep the church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet. He is alive and reigns with you, the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. So, see you online, or see you back in person in a couple of weeks.